Go with Robin Mitchell and John Hendricks. And joining us, our state representative, Courtney Sprunger.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good to have you with us.
Always good to be here.
You know, all this talk throughout all the campaigns and everything has to do with taxes. We got to do something about our taxes. And I know you're in agreement with that. But there are some things that you put into the tax code that we need to take advantage of.
That's right. Oftentimes when we're talking about taxes, a lot of people don't know about new programs. So the most meaningful thing for me that I was able to carry at the legislature was the Montana Adoption Tax Credit. It had actually been eliminated in a prior session, and we brought it back and we made it more substantial. It was really small before. So now families who have adopted since July 1st, 2022 qualify for a one-time per child refundable tax credit of $5,000 if they've adopted privately, or $7,500 if they've adopted out of our Montana foster care program.
So you bring a kid out of foster care and you can get a lot of help.
You know, and that's the thing, right? I've actually had people say, well, it doesn't cost anything to adopt from foster care. Well, you talk to the families, a large majority of them have to have one parent take time away from full-time work in order to care for the needs of a child or just to get through the process. So that $7,500 in a way is a small contribution towards making it more accessible for our families to adopt, making sure these kids have a family and they don't age out of the system alone.
Help us understand the difference between a tax credit and a tax deduction.
That's actually, I'm like, gosh, well, you know what? I'm not much of a CPA, but a tax credit is something oftentimes where you have to pay in to the system. And then they say, hey, because you qualify in this way, we basically give you money back, if you will, or we give you money back on your taxes. A deduction is more an expense oftentimes that you will have that you would reduce your tax burden that way. So they're similar, but they're slightly different mechanisms. This one's a refundable tax credit. And because it was geared towards adoption, oftentimes people don't love refundable tax credits. This one was obviously geared towards our most vulnerable populations and children in need. So that means even if you paid in, let's say, $3,500, but you put all the money together and you raised the money and you adopted a child through private means, you'll get the full $5,000 back.
Wow.
So you might actually get some additional money back on a refund to help you with all of the expenses.
Okay, now what about, I wonder if it can be carried forward if it if you didn't pay in $7,500 that year. And we're talking about a Montana credit, right?
We're talking, there's actually a federal credit. And so this is the Montana tax credit, which is not tied to the federal credit. And one reason that's really important is because the federal tax credit doesn't do a lot to help families that adopt out of foster care, because it requires basically a designation of expenses. So we all know if you adopt privately, it can be between $30,000 and $60,000. Yeah. When you adopt out of foster care, there is help, but there is tremendous expense for these families in terms of time away from work, in terms of therapeutic appointments that sometimes aren't covered, that kind of thing. And so this is not tied to the federal, and it allows families to actually get a value. And so it's kind of a one-time, you apply for it in that year, and if you, let's say you didn't pay in a full $7,500, you'll actually see a tax rebate, which is really nice.
Yeah, no kidding.
People getting the money to these families right when they need it.
So now how do we apply for this?
That's a great question. So you're going to apply for it with your, you know, your tax consultant. That's really important. Just let them know we've adopted within this last year. You'll have basic paperwork, and then your tax preparer, or if you're doing it yourself, you'll just want to look up the Montana adoption tax credit. When they have a lot of different tax credits you can do. This is why I have an accountant. I'll never figure this out on my own. But just let them know, hey, we've adopted, we qualify for the Montana adoption tax credit. It's in the code, and your financial professional can help.
Is there a deadline for applying?
So April 15th is obviously tax day. So I'm really trying to get out and pound the drum and let people know, if you're trying to apply by April 15th and avoid late charges that come with filing late, you're going to want to make sure that you get this in by Monday as a part of. Some people are still getting their taxes together. Now, that said, I believe that you can still go back and make an adjustment on your taxes if you've missed it.
Okay. All right. That's so that's news. That plan for, and I know you worked hard to get that one through the legislature, so good
going. It was a wonderful effort, and I want to give a big shout out. both to Senator Greg Hertz, who carried it over in the Senate and was an incredible champion. He's the chair of taxation, and he walked every step of the way with me on it. And then also to the Governor Gianforte, who really, it was his idea first. Mm-hmm. And I went to him and said, I am passionate about this topic. My nieces are adopted. I want to be a part of the solution. But, you know, you give credit where credit's due.
Sure. All right. Yeah. So now there are some other helpful things, too, that you can do if you find yourself in a situation where you can't pay your property taxes.
Yes, that's the good news. So obviously on the doors, I'm out on the doors. And number one, property tax reform. It's number one on my list. But what can we do today to help people? So for a lot of people, they are in an income restricted issue, or they're on a limited income. They need to be aware of the property tax assistance program, which has been in place, but we raised the limit significantly in the last session to help people. We saw that people's values were going up. So where it used to be that you only could take a tax credit off $200,000 of your house, mm-hmm. we increased that tax limit up to $350,000.
That's significant.
That's right, almost time and a half. And so the point of it being is you might even have a house that's worth more than that. Most of us do that have a house in the Flathead at this point. If it's $450,000, though, you can get a deduction on the first $350,000 if mm-hmm. you qualify for the income limits. And that's up to $38,000 for a couple. So, you know, you're thinking people on really limited fixed income, Social Security. I've talked to a lot of people. They could get as much as 80% off of their property tax, depending on where they're at in income.
Wow.
And so it's basically a sliding scale to assist them. And so we actually changed the income limits and increased those in the last year as well. In consideration of just basically how property taxes were working and how heavily impacted people are who are on a fixed income. We wanted to make sure that we walked away with an adaptation to that program. If people are interested in applying for that program, they just need to go, they can look up the property tax assistance program in Montana. It's at the Montana Department of Revenue's website. And they just fill out a form and submit it. Once they're, and once they're in the program, mm-hmm. the system will help them renew every year.
Okay. And we also have a veterans program too,
we
I
do.
Believe.
Yes, that's right. And so that's actually tied to it. And the limits are, and I'm not as familiar with the limits on it, but I'm actually looking at the bill as we speak. But the limits for the veterans, I believe, are a little bit higher. So for a couple, that's more closer to $55,000 that will assist them with different programming. So I would encourage them to get involved, take a look at that Montana property tax assistance program. That's a really good tool for our veterans and our people who are on a fixed income who may need some help. And as a reminder, you know, and I'll get a little bit more information for you, but we have also additional rebates coming out in August. So $675 for most people. You do need to apply for that. But that obviously every bit helps with the way that we're all looking at property taxes right now.
Well, you've had a little time to talk with some folks now and throughout this whole campaign. And I know that you've been hit right square in the nose with the property tax situation. Any ideas on how we're going to fix it?
You know, I'm passionate about this topic, and we had a lot of discourse. I'll be honest with you. I was really frustrated that we had people voting to go home before we had a solution, and we kind of got stuck last time. But I think there were some good ideas on the table. And one idea is, and I've talked to our local government about this too, is to create a reasonable cap where they can keep up with just basic inflation so we don't defund the police, let's say. Mm-hmm. We all know that we've got a lot of crime. I've been over knocking doors. The other thing I'm hearing about is crime and break-ins and drugs. But that we have a really controllable expense. So we're talking maybe a 3% or 4% cap where local government spending doesn't ever increase their budget more than that amount in a given year. Mm-hmm. That's actually how schools do it. So right now, you know, and I know actually, and I'm still trying to figure out some of these pieces, but some people floated the mills down. I know our local governments looked at mills and floated some of them down. And that helped control things a little bit. But those first revenue statements that went out were terrifying for a lot of people, and they made a big impact.
The thing that is beginning to become obvious to me is that local governments are tapped out and local taxpayers are tapped out. Yet we seem to have plenty of money at the state level. How come some of that money can't float down in the form of lower property taxes?
That's a really good question, John. So we basically have two buckets of taxes in Montana. In most states, not all, but most, we actually have three. So in Montana, we have property tax, we have income tax, and we have a sales tax. So in Montana, we don't have a sales tax, which is really nice when you go to the register, right? Yeah. I love just paying what the ticket says. However, that said, over time, now property tax used to be assisted significantly by industries like timber and mining. And so over time, you've seen those start to go away, which has created an imbalance. Income tax, we could look at, and it may be a conversation that we have to start to have. Traditionally, income tax has always been used to run state government. So to make sure that your highways are in good shape, to make sure that your waterways are being protected, that kind of thing at the larger level. And property tax, which was, you know, the local folks and easily controllable at the local level in terms of budget, was what went to fix your local roads and to do your local schools. So you had a lot of local control. So, you know, I could see that becoming a conversation and us asking the question. What I can tell you, though, is that income tax is really volatile. So it's a little scary, right? Like as the economy goes up and down, it's a little scary to build our local budgets, like our local schools and our local governments that are those direct immediate services that have smaller groups on a platform that's pretty volatile because people's incomes go up and down with the economy a lot.
Well, we've already lowered income taxes. We did that.
We have.
We lowered them.
That's right. That's true.
You know, I guess for me, I think about we have one of the lowest per capita incomes in the country, and we tax it. We have one of the highest tourist rates in the world, and we don't.
Yeah, you know, and it's an interesting question. So I've actually had this question, right? Everybody asks the sales tax question. And when you're, especially when I'm be candid, when you're a solid conservative, most people just won't touch it. And so it's tricky because politically it would be a hard thing to get through. And so my perspective is if the people want a sales tax, I would say that should come through a ballot initiative, through the people choosing that and voting for that and bringing that forward. And saying, you know, like, hey, we want a sales tax and direct, and you have to be careful with appropriation. We got into that with a few other bills, but they could potentially say we want it to directly offset this percentage of property tax and to be no more. But that said, because it's such a volatile thing with the people, and that's me out on the doors, I almost think the people, if that's what they want, it should be driven by the people.
Well, a few years ago, I think there was a movement by the people to eliminate the income tax entirely and just go to a state sales tax and with local options along the way, similar to what they do in Washington. Washington State has no income tax, but they also have this thing called the B&O, the Business and Occupation Tax, which is a business killer. But nonetheless, they're taxing they seem to have a heck of a lot of money to spend in Washington.
But in Washington, since there's no sales tax, if you sell a bunch of stock, you're not paying state tax on it. So there's a lot of upsides.
Income tax,
Right. Well, although when we talk about who has a lot of stock, let's keep in mind, right, we're still talking about higher income folks, right?
Yeah, so, that's right.
And not that, you know, I'm for a fair system, right?
Sure.
I'm for making sure that we, as much as we can, everybody sort of pays as much as they can as their part, right? And that we keep taxes as low as we possibly can. That's always been my question is like, hey, what's the system that makes sure that Montanans pay the least taxes for the best services? And really, let's look at that system. But I can tell you, and it's just very candid, is that what I've heard from people when I'm out on the doors of people I serve is they're very scared of anything outside of what we have because they're afraid it will all just build on one another.
I get that.
Yeah,
and
you
that's,
know, but,
and I do not want to see both a sales and an income tax similar to Colorado because both of them just you reduce one for a while and then they all creep back up again and before long you've really made a mess of things.
California is a mess. City taxes and county taxes and sales taxes.
Yeah, there's a reason they're flooding here here, right? I mean, we've got a lot of freedom when we have a very friendly business climate and we have lower taxes. So
New York City is the craziest tax place I ever lived. You've got a state income tax, you've got the federal income tax, Social Security, Medicare. You have a city, New York City has an income tax. Plus the sales tax running around 9%.
Wow. Well, you
so,
know what?
You know, you're looking at half your paycheck is going to taxes.
It's a good reason to visit and not live there.
Well, but the point of the whole thing is that most people don't own a car. They're relying on the subways and the bus system, the transit system, which is excellent. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all holidays covered. You know, you're paying for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we have local control, right?
Sure.
So you look at New York City, which looks nothing like Montana.
Of course.
And you have a totally different culture. Mm-hmm. People are very, very independent. And by the way, I don't know too many that want to ride on a crowded bus. But, you know, you posed a really interesting question. Mm-hmm. And I know it was looked at by some conservative legislators before, which was, can we remove the property tax and replace it with a sales tax, right? And so I think you're going to start
to, interesting.
You know, the only challenge around that, honestly, is that there's a lot of people who own second homes in Montana who don't pay anything else in, come in and use the services, and I'd like to see those people pay their fair share for their homes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it may be also that we look at a tiering with the property tax system that says, hey, you have a homestead exemption, or you have, this is your primary residence, you live here 6 months or more, you get a little better rate. People that have their second and third homes here, maybe they have a little bit different programming. And so we're going to need to be innovative and creative. And I think that we need to work together. And
now,
there's the key.
I wonder, you know, in like state of Washington, I don't know if they do it anymore. They had the company stores along I-5 in the state of Washington. If you're from Oregon or California or Montana, you show them your driver's license, you don't pay the sales tax.
Yep, that's gone.
Well,
I was
going
to say, I go shopping over there and I used to get that discount.
But it's gone. They took it out last time.
But the point is, could there be something that's like the reverse of that? where we tax, you know, those who come in from out of state, they're using our highways and so forth. You know, somebody mentioned to us, even the credit cards, which everybody is using, are sourced to where they're from.
It's an interesting challenge. So, and again, like I said, I think unless we can find a way to eliminate a different tax, I think it's important if we talk about changing this tax structure or which streams of revenue, I would really like to see the people be driving that process. I think as legislators, it's really important for us to get down there and work with what the people have given us. But because I've heard from so many of the people I represent that they don't want to see that without some other change, I'd like to, and I think it could pass the ballot. I think that you'd have a lot of organized discussion. The other challenge around something like, candidly, like a sales tax, is that Western Montana looks so different than Eastern Montana that you have one group really that might benefit from tourist revenue and the other side that does not. Mm-hmm. Now they're just paying, you know, a sales tax on the regular goods and or on their farm equipment or whatever it is. And so, and actually I shouldn't say farm equipment because the business equipment taxes is sort of eliminated a lot of that. But what you're hearing here, and you heard it here first, is that it's not simple, or we'd already have a solution.
Yeah, sure.
But maybe there's a reason there's North Carolina and South Carolina. I don't know.
And North and South Dakota, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't want Eastern and Western Montana.
I don't either. I sure love this state.
Yeah. Courtney, as always, thanks for a great discussion.
Yeah, great to see you both. Thanks.
Thanks.